Well, good morning. Dean is not taking a big old jet airliner. He's taking public transportation to get up to the Pride Parade. It's Brian Noonan in for the final 2 hours of the Dean Richards Show on this Sunday morning. Glad to be with you. A beautiful day from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, and a lot to cover in the final 2 hours. We've got some more of Dean's A-list interviews from the big Transformer red carpet the other night. We're going to talk a little bit about all the changes at Uber and the food segment. Oh, you guys will be happy about this, Andy and Dave. We've got our friends from Broken English Taco Pub bringing in food and beverages. Wink, wink. They said, should we bring in some beverages? I said, well, it's afternoon. Of course you should bring beverages. What are we, heathens? Well, no, yes, you need to bring a beverage.
What goes along with food?
Right.
Drink.
How do we wash down our tacos if not without some sort of alcoholic beverage?
So it is the extended 4th of July weekend, right?
I think so. I think you start
extended
now.
Extended pre-4th
Listen,
of July
we
weekend.
We start with Pride weekend. We have Good a little point, party yes. down here, and then we move on to 4th of July, and then we start looking forward to Labor Day. So it's all, I think from here on out, it's one big picnic. Until September.
Sounds good to me.
That's my motto anyway.
Go for it.
It is good to see you guys. I haven't seen you in quite some time, so nice to be with you on a Sunday.
Nice to be working with you again.
You
and I have worked all hours of the day
yes.
and night, Brian.
Yes, we have. You never know when Dave and I will
see. Evening, afternoon.
We'll run into each other at the oddest times. I was very excited to hear about your northern adventure last year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we just got back yesterday, actually.
Or last week.
Yeah.
Last year.
Last year.
Yes, last year. You're still telling that same story, Dave. Let's update it a little bit. A year-old vacation
Fast
is not...
Fast forward to this week. But, yeah, it was great. Way up there, 20 miles south of Canada. It's a 45-mile-long island in the middle of Lake Superior. It's
oh,
a
wow.
national park. Isle Royal National Park. Been there. The park has been there since 1940. But the thing of it is, like I've been telling everybody, you're isolated. We had no
yeah.
phone, no TV, no cell service.
How did you like that?
Well, I liked it. Bottom line, and just a quick answer to your question, I liked it. There is a little bit of an adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you say, oh, boy, I can't use this little device
right.
in my hand right now. But, you know, I was with my father, and there were not a lot of people there, and we were in a small area, so everybody got to know each other the old-fashioned way.
Nice. And is it cabins or tents, mucklucks? Well, those are boots, but
you can,
I don't know what you do.
You can camp in a tent. You know, there were some serious hikers there with some gear and overnight camping gear, but we stayed in the cabins in the
oh,
lodge
nice.
There. Yeah. And there was a full-service restaurant. Think of this. They have to bring in all that food.
Wow.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. And but there we stayed in the lodge area there. It was very nice.
Yeah.
Not only that, quiet. There were times when all you heard was a bird singing and the waves hitting the rocks on the shore.
That sounds unbelievably peaceful and wonderful.
It's therapeutic.
How long did it take you to adjust to not being able to use a phone or anything? A day?
Yeah, but really by the end of the first day, I was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just fine.
Could you do that, Andy? You're a guy who seems... overly connected.
Not a chance. I'd be looking for the golf course, and I'm sure there wasn't one on a man-made island. Yeah, I'd be looking to check and see what's going on in the world of sports. You wouldn't be able to keep me away.
See, well, now that it's very interesting we bring that up because later we're going to talk about a new poll that came out about what Americans are really looking for in their vacations. So we'll get into that. I'm kind of in the middle. I like the isolation. And I could do that for a few days, but then I would want to check in. Plus, you know, with this job, I'm always social mediaing and
yep.
tweeting. But it'd be nice to get away from that. And I do force myself when I'm on vacation, and I don't know if you'd ever try this, I'll wait, and I won't do anything until we get back to the hotel at the end of the night. Then when it's all done and before, but then I'll check like emails and I'll check social media, things like that. But I'll try not to do it during the day because I want to enjoy and experience where we're at.
Yeah.
You know,
I can see that. I mean, it just seems like it's such a part of my daily
daily
routine now that
yes.
it wouldn't seem out of order if I was doing it. You know, it
right.
seems it's just part of the plan.
I also want to address this. I've been listening to the program since it started, and fine job as always, gentlemen. Broadcast Museum worthy. I've already called Bruce Dumont and, awesome. And everybody else, so you guys are up for some sort of award nomination. Joey, you kind of producing a little bit sketchy, but we'll let that go because he's, you know, Joey and I have a history. We've worked together many times, so I know his strengths and I know his weaknesses, but mostly strengths. But there's a few. Anyway, I need to
come out of the gates hot here.
Yeah. Oh, listen, I've got a take on everything, Joey. That's what talk radio is all about, hot takes.
And he's back at 6 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, I've got a lot of takes, and I'm storing them up because I'm here all day. I'm basically doing Frank's show, then I'm going to talk sports for 3 hours on the beat, then I'm going to do my nonsense from 6 to 9.
The N stands for Noonan.
Yes. We got Noonan all day,
nice.
Whether you like it or not. Dean has been downplaying his popularity at the parade, mm-hmm. and let me address this because, first of all, last year, and I've been at the parade numerous times with the WGN radio float. This year they said, can you fill in for Dean? And, of course, because Dean, let's be honest, Dean is a national treasure and a broadcast icon in this town. And despite his self-effacing manner when he's talking about people not paying attention to him, I will give him this. There is a pecking order. It is Bozo Skilling. But then I'm going to throw Tom or Dean right as the as a tight number three.
Top three is good.
Of course it's good. He's recognizable. He's everywhere. He's on the radio. He's on TV. And last year, Dean did hook me up with my introduction to Bozo.
Oh, nice.
So I will always be grateful to Dean for that and other things. But that, so I got to meet Bozo. And I did get to meet Todd last year, too. After speaking to Tom on this station for 11 years, I had never met him in person. And so I finally got to meet him. And Tom Skilling's a rock star.
Oh, he's the best.
He is a rock star.
It's like traveling with Elvis.
I've had people from all over the country ask me about him.
Yes, it's crazy. People ask me about Tom Skilling and then Orion. Those are the two.
Oh, yeah, Orion, sure.
Do you know Orion Samuelson? Yes, I do. Oh, my God. So I get a little reflected glow from their genius and greatness just because I've met them and talked. And the fact that they would know who I am if I walked up to the people. People think that's a big deal. I think it's a big deal, but it's, you know, I don't know.
Reflective glow. I like
reflective
that phrase.
Glow. You know, I can't get the full sunlight, Dave, but I'll take a little reflective glow whenever I can. Listen, so I know Dave's been telling you to say hello to Dean. You should. You should say hello to everybody on the float. And I'm still working. I hope you guys are working on that list. I heard you tried to figure out who's on the radio float.
Who is on the radio?
I don't know.
Andrea Darlis will be there.
I know there's some sort of
Bill
musical group. I never know from year to year who's going to show up. There's always people from our fine promotions department. There's some sales folks there.
I saw Marlene Wells earlier.
Marlene is always there working hard. And, you know, we've got, I'm sure, Adam, one of our fine engineers, is there running the fan van or whatever it is. But I don't know. It's always sketchy. It's a float that's wrapped in an enigma. You never know who's going to... And let's be honest, radio people don't like to commit to anything, especially on a Sunday morning.
True.
Because they're all hammered. That's why it was so hard.
You're giving away the secret here.
Listen, Dave, I'm here to... I'm giving some reflective glow. Instead of throwing shade, I'm shining a light. I'm shining a light on the dirty secrets of this place. All right, let's... If you're going to the parade, perhaps you are jumping in an Uber this morning. There's been a lot of Uber news with the CEO being forced to resign. We're going to talk to Ben Meyerson. He's the news editor at Blue Sky Innovations. Find out what's going on with Uber and how it's going to affect you if you're an Uber driver or an Uber rider here in Chicago. We'll do that on the other side of this. It's 720 WGN. Right now, Uber has more than 40 million active monthly riders and users, and we've all been following the news. A lot of upheaval at Uber lately with their CEO, Travis Kalanick, being forced out. What does that mean for us here in Chicago? What does it mean for the future of the company itself? Ben Meyerson might know. He's the news editor for Blue Sky Innovations. You read them in the Tribune all the time. Ben, thanks for taking some time this morning. Welcome.
No problem. My pleasure, Brian.
So give us a quick overview for those who might not have been following. What's been going on at Uber that led to their CEO being forced out?
Yeah, so it really started in a lot of people's eyes with this sexual harassment allegation, these sexual harassment allegations that came from a woman named Susan Fowler earlier this year in early spring. And that kind of triggered a lot of focus on the company. That was followed by a lawsuit against Uber by Google, accusing Uber of stealing some of their autonomous car technology, you know, so the self-driving cars that are so
right.
so crazy and everybody's looking to right now. And then it all kind of came to a head as their CEO, Travis Kalanick, went before the board and decided to take a leave of absence. And soon after that, last week, we saw some of his investors came at Uber and cornered him in Chicago and asked him to formally step down. So
well, and the timing was strange, excuse me, but because you mentioned he was here in Chicago and he was rumored to be interviewing COO candidates. Is that, have we confirmed that? Do we know if that's the case? Do we know if, you know, why would the board allow him to hire a new COO if they're going to be bringing in a new CEO?
Yeah, that's a really big question. What was he doing here? By a lot of accounts, even though he was taking a leave of absence, he was still talking with people. He was still very active behind the scenes, working with other board members and getting stuff done, even though technically he was stepping down day to day. But for months, even before any of this really started blowing up, there were some allegations, or not some allegations, but some acknowledgement from him that he needed a number two, because mm-hmm. it had really been all his show all the time at Uber. And he acknowledged that he needed a little bit of help. So he's been looking at hiring a COO for a while. We don't know exactly what he was doing in Chicago. The rumors are that he was talking to a possible number two, but we don't know. We posted a story this week kind of speculating who he might have been meeting with, if there are any figures in the Chicago tech scene that are really up to the job of being Uber's number two, or if it was really just a neutral third site that he met with folks at.
Let's look at this, because a lot of people have been saying, you know, Uber's culture needs to change, which, you know, they're talking about making some changes for drivers. They're talking, you know, here in Chicago, they were partnering with the YWCA to get more women drivers and all that. But can the culture really change if the CEO that you're forcing out is still going to be on the board of directors and ultimately be the overseer of the new CEO?
Yeah, I think that was the question that a lot of the investors had when, again, he took that leave of absence is, well, is he still going to be way too involved in the company? But yeah, I mean, he's still going to be involved in the board. He still controls a sizable amount of votes on the board and with stock. So, you know, you're really not going to get rid of Travis Kalanick unless there's larger steps taken. But who knows? Maybe the investors will further neuter him. It's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out.
Now, we remember there was a campaign still going on, the hashtag Delete Uber, and it started when there was surge pricing after some tragedies, and it also goes back to the sexual harassment allegations. Has the bottom line of Uber been hurt by any of this, or is this more just a social media awareness campaign?
Well, we talked to some drivers after Travis was forced out last week, and we went and we talked to some folks at one of these stations they have set up where drivers can get their cars checked out, mm-hmm. make sure everything's in row. And the drivers that we talked to said, you know, we really haven't seen much of any kind of hurt from the Delete Uber campaign. But what it does seem is that there are more people that have been willing to shift over to Uber's competitors, Lyft. So maybe it's on a more macro level. Maybe there's some effect, but none of the companies admitted to. But Lyft, their main competitor, has really seemed to have been gaining at least a little bit of market share from here, if not mind share.
But is there still Lyft still drastically behind Uber as far as market share?
Yeah, it's hard to tell with private companies, but by at least in terms of their investor valuations, they're still much lower. Lyft is still a definite number two, but there's some buzz that this might be the opportunity that that is needed for them to step up and become a little bit of a more prominent and not a further more distant number two.
On a purely street level, for riders and for local drivers, when you talk to the Uber drivers up there, are they starting to see, because I know on Uber's website they're talking about, listen, we're going to be doing, over the next 180 days, we're going to be instituting changes. On right here in town, if I'm getting in an Uber today, or if I'm driving for Uber, am I going to see any changes, or is everything kind of, you know, it's a lot of talk up at the upper levels, but it doesn't filter down?
Well, one thing that drivers really were happy about that happened, this was separate from the CEO shenanigans, There was one thing that Uber did roll out in the last week is a new tipping function. Now, this is something that's been in Lyft for a long time. You can, at the end of your ride, if you really enjoyed your driver, there's an optional thing that pops up on your screen, $1, $2, $5. Now, Uber has added that exact same feature, which is something that drivers have really been upset about for a while, because there's some, there are numbers out there about how much Uber drivers have been missing out on, or how much Lyft drivers have taken in tips just from this tip function at the end of the day. Some Uber drivers put out like little tip jars, like you'd see it in like an ice cream shop or something like that. But now that's part of the app. So that is one change that has rolled out that on the ground level, getting into that car and getting out of that car, you're going to see on a day-to-day basis.
Now, in one of the stories in the Trib, and I can't remember which one, they were talking about a company here that had decided to not allow Uber for their business write-offs. The company wasn't going to cover Uber rides anymore because of all the allegations and all the alleged improprieties. Are we seeing that more throughout, or are people starting to go back if they, you know, if they were making a stand? Are companies starting to move back?
Yeah, so Basecamp is a Chicago-based company for project management and talk, a lot similar to a Slack or some other kind of workplace management apps. They've been around in Chicago for a long time, the folks here. And, they said earlier this year in February that they weren't going to reimburse Uber rides anymore. But they said now they're going to look forward and reevaluate it in August. So they're not 100% back on board yet. That's the only real company that we've heard of making a formal stance on it. And this is a company that's more of an activist company to begin with. So we haven't heard about a much larger trend than that, but it's definitely going to be interesting to see, again, how this Delete Uber campaign plays out, if it lessens or shifts in some way.
As far as the city's concerned, we remember a year or so ago there was a lot of talk about Uber and making Uber drivers get chauffeurs, like all of that. Has all that kind of died down? Have the city and Uber reached a sort of detente?
You know, I couldn't comment on that offhand. There's certainly less about it that's come up for us to be covering these days. The rideshare regulations seem to have leveled off a little bit. I think if you went and talked to some taxi drivers around town, you still might find that they're pretty unhappy with the situation. But there's nothing imminent, at least regulatory-wise, that I've heard of. But again, I'm not. We haven't done any reporting on it lately. But that's not to say that there's not something happening behind the scenes.
And before I let you go, Ben, you mentioned the Uber app now has the tipping function. Any new changes or any more changes coming to the app that riders can expect, or new services that they're going to? You know, they seem to add a new service every couple of weeks too.
Yeah, you know, you've got your Uber Eats, you've got your Uber Rush delivering retail packages, all those kinds of things. The same old story with these tech companies is they're going to launch it when they're going to launch it, and they're going to do a big show with it. But you never quite know exactly what's coming down the pike. So nothing that we know of. That tipping function is the big highlight. But you might think they might be a little distracted on the back end here for a little while.
Yeah, I would imagine that's the case. Well, Ben, I appreciate all your time this morning. Thanks for the information. We'll be reading you in the Tribune. Ben Meyerson is the news editor for Blue Sky Innovations. Have a great rest of your Sunday, Ben. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian. A pleasure.
Take care. All right, let's do this, and then we will have more news with Dave Schwann, which will be very exciting. As always, it's all happening right here on 720 WGN. Well, good morning. It's Brian Noonan in for Dean Richards. I know some of you are, hey, we heard Dean there earlier. What'd you do with Dean? Did you abduct Dean? No, Dean is fine. Dean left a little early so he could be on the WGN TV float in the Pride Parade. We'll talk to Dean from the float. If he can get, you know, wedge in between Skilling and Bozo, we will talk to Dean right after noon. So as soon as the parade kicks off, Dean will touch base with us and tell us how things are going. A million people, as Dave has been reporting, expected to be in that neighborhood today. It is quite a scene. If you've never been to the Pride Parade, it is, man, it's packed. There's people everywhere. There's people hanging from windows. They're up on roofs. They're lining the streets. It is a fun time. Don't try to drive there, though. Take public transportation, walk, something, but do not try to drive.
Would you even get close to driving?
I don't know
that amount of people.
I don't know where, if you were in a car, where you would have to leave it to get the, you know, you might as well park here and walk there because you're not going to get much closer. Than
park
that.
In Arlington Heights.
Yes. And then... But the beautiful thing is you get on the L and bang, you're right there.
Yeah.
You're right there. You get a whole long route all the way down Broadway and then ends at, where'd you say it ends today?
Diversity and Cannon. Yeah, yes. In Lincoln Park.
Right in Lincoln Park. So it'll be a lot of fun. All right, so we do have some of Dean's regular features at 12:30. In an hour, we're going to be doing a food segment with our friends from Broken English Taco Pub. We will talk a little bit about what Americans want on vacation. But right now, this is very exciting because, listen, I'm going to be honest with you, and I know Dean gave this a Dean's List C, Transformers the last night, but it is always exciting to have these huge film productions in town. I know we have a lot of television production in town too, which is all great, generating a lot of money for the city and for the state, so we're happy to have them. And, you know, it's nice to get a little taste of Hollywood. So the other night was the big red carpet premiere of Transformers the last night, as Dean mentioned earlier, happened on a barge right in the river. We had all the big stars were here. Mark Wahlberg was here and director Michael Bay. And so Dean, of course, was on the red carpet because that's what Dean does. And he got some great interviews. So let's start. Our first one was Dean talking to Mark Wahlberg, the star of that. Now, he no longer with the Funky Bunch, Joey. I don't know if you knew that. He left the Funky Bunch way behind, which
I think he should go back.
I think so, too. It's a money grab, of course. If
it's
you bring
my favorite
back
fun
the funky
fact
bunch.
With a song when Good Vibrations comes on. Do you know who's that rapper right now? It's not Ice-T or Ice Cube. It's Mark Wahlberg.
I love that you're so young that's a fun fact. That you
right?
think there's people around who don't know. And there are people who don't know. They just think Mark Wahlberg, big hunky action star. Or weepy drama star. Or guy who produced Entourage.
Right.
No. He used to be a Calvin Klein model, too. That guy did sit-ups. Envious. Andy, you ever going to have abs like Marky Mark? I know I'm not. Oh, Andy's recording stuff. I shouldn't bother him. All right, let's do this. Let's hear from Mark Wahlberg and Dean from the red carpet.
So when you make a movie like this, what's the difference between something like this and quieter movies that you make, less action-filled movies? Different for you as an actor?
Absolutely. But, you know, you get to find a kind of great balance here. I mean, yes, there's tons of action and the physical demands are pretty grueling. But you also get to sit in a room with Anthony Hopkins and Michael and other character actors. And you kind of go in there and you improvise and you play around and you try to make these characters good, well-rounded, interesting individuals. So, yeah, it's tough. But, you know, when you make a movie like this, it's nice to then go make a small, intimate character piece, you know, or comedy, or just people talking in a room. You know, I'm not upset if I don't see a harness for another 6 months. That's for sure.
How physically brutal is it on you when you're doing these? I mean, you're in great shape always.
Well, the thing is, it's one thing to look like you're in shape. There's another thing to be in shape to the point where you can perform these action sequences 12 hours a day, 5 days a week for a good 5 or 6 months. And that's the key, you know? It's like you don't want to be a bodybuilder. You want to be a sprinter or a marathon runner. You want to be able to come in and really, you know, do a day in, a day out.
Yeah, so what does it mean to you to be in Chicago, to have done these films sort of, you know, here in Chicago and be part of the action here?
It's fantastic. I mean, it's a great town. Blue collar, reminds me of my own hometown of Boston. You know, I sat today with Mike Ditka, and the first thing he did, want to apologize for beating up on my Patriots in 86. I was like, dude, not a problem. We've had many great victories since. And the history here across the board, sports, you know, politics, from everything across the board. So I love the city.
Yeah. Yep. I bet you didn't get together with Theo while you're here.
You know what? Very happy for him and very happy for the Cubs. Even when the Red Sox won, you know, in 2004, I would have loved to see the Cubs-Red Sox. And that way, whoever won, it would have been well-deserving for the city and the fans. Yeah. We waited way too long. So.
There you go. That's Dean talking to Mark Wahlberg at the premiere of Transformers The Last Night. They always shut down the streets when I'm not around. I've yet to see them doing any filming down here, but I see the aftermath, which is always fun. All right, then Dean got to talk to the director of the Transformers film, Michael Bay.
Welcome back. Thank you. Tell me about your obsession with Chicago. Sounds negative, but you are a little obsessed with our city.
Well, your city has been so gracious to me, and Transformers, like shutting down 10 blocks, letting wingsuit guys fly from Sears Tower. What do you call it now? Not Sears Tower.
Now it's called the Willis Tower.
The Willis Tower.
And I'm never going to stop calling it Sears.
So it's pretty hard to convince a city to do that, but it took a year of planning to have these guys fly a mile and a half through the city at 120 miles an hour. But it's also just been a great city. Police environment are fantastic.
So we see Chicago in this film, but was it previous footage that you used this time or CG this time? How did you
We shot a lot of footage, so it's a previous footage, yeah.
Yeah.
So we shot in Detroit, we shot in England, Iceland, Ireland, Scotland.
Yeah. A lot of locations, and Green Bay Packer fans will love to see Soldier Field partially destroyed here as well.
Right.
How do you see this franchise evolving and continuing?
Well, it started with a call from Steven Spielberg. He said, there's a movie called Transformers. It's about a boy who buys a car and it turns into an alien robot. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like a very good idea. And it's turned into this phenomenon. It's one of the more successful franchises out there. And I've done five of them. This is the last one. And it's been a great 10-year journey for me.
Would you, you're so famous for your style. Is it possible that you would ever just do like a romantic drama?
Oh, yeah.
A quiet?
Sure, absolutely.
You know, nothing's destroyed.
Working, you know how easy it is? It's nice it is to work with just two actors acting in a room and very few crew, and that's fun.
All right, that's Michael Bay. Do you think they really need all those exotic locations, or they just do it because the actors and the production team want some sort of vacation? They want to go everywhere. Because it seems that you list all these countries and you go, all right, now granted, I have not seen the movie, but I'm wondering, couldn't you have done these all, like, you know, one or two places? I'm glad they're doing it here. Let's go. Oh, Josh Duhamel, you know who he's married? Here's a fun fact for you, Joey. You like fun facts about movies.
I do.
You know who Josh Duhamel is married to?
I do not.
That's Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas.
Wow.
That's right. There's another. You put that in with your Marky Mark and the Fun Bunch fun fact.
I'm going to do well at dinner parties.
You are. You're going to be just a font of useless knowledge. It's going to be great. But they'll go, hey, that Joey Gelman, we got to bring him back because he knows some things. He knows two things.
Two things.
They're both fascinating things. So Dean got to speak with Josh Duhamel.
One of my best memories, I forget which movie it was, a Transformers movie that you're making on Michigan Avenue when you're blowing up Michigan Avenue. And I don't know if you remember, there's a radio station that's right there where you guys were. And I was doing my radio show. You're constantly coming up to the window because, like, Craft Services was there. So I remember that.
Really?
And just watching you in action while you were doing that. So you've got some history here in Chicago.
Yeah, we have a lot of history. We spent a whole summer here. It was probably, I remember looking back, that was probably the most fun that I've had making these because we weren't out in some desert somewhere. We weren't, like, some hot stage somewhere. It was like on the river, Chicago, summertime. It was one of the best times I've had making a movie. I don't know if the people of Chicago feel that way because we had to shut down Michigan Avenue for so long, but
we were cursing you out
I can't believe they actually invited us back.
Yeah, we love seeing the city in the movies, but that day.
Yeah, no, it was more than one day. It was a long time.
That summer we were cursing you out a little bit. You know, you're probably maybe the most senior veteran of the cast.
I am now. Can you believe that?
Right? So how do you reflect on what makes these films, you know, what's the staying power of them, the power that drives them?
Well, I think it's just the basis of it is the idea that a car can transform into a robot is something that boys all over the world love. They love the idea. It's amazing to watch. Michael just brings it to life on the screen. And it's just one of those movies that you feel like this is why they make them. This is for the big screen. This is just pure, you know, entertainment. I think that he does a great job of that.
Being in a movie like this give you extra cred with your kids?
My son actually thinks I fight Decepticons for a living. I'm not going to tell him otherwise.
That's a pretty good gig, fighting Decepticons for a living. Are you a fan of the Transformers franchise, Joey? Do you watch, have you seen the movies?
I am, but I honestly say I think I've missed the last couple.
I saw the first two.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, once you lose a Shia LaBeouf and a Megan Fox, I'm out of your franchise. I'm done. And that's really, if you remember back to the very first Transformers movie, I think you were two or three when that first
came out.
Yeah,
that sounds about right.
You were a young man. They made a huge deal in all the promos of Megan Fox bending over the hood of, I think it's Bumblebee or one of the cars, I don't know. And that was to get all the young boys into the theater. And it worked. As an old boy, I went in to see that too. I just remember the two that I saw. They're so loud. Those movies are just, and now I sound like a very ancient man. Say, oh, it's so loud. but they're louder than any other action movie because the cars are transforming into robots and people are blowing things up. And, you know, what is it, Darth Vader? No, he's a villain in a different franchise. I don't know who the Decepticons are, their leader. Optimus Prime, is that the good one or the bad one? Any idea?
I think it's the good one.
I think the good one is Optimus Prime. I don't know. Right now, all the Transformers geeks are like, oh, this guy is so stupid.
Or it's Megatron, and the other one is...
Oh, no, I think Megatron's a bad guy.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm embarrassed to say I don't really know. So.
You know what? You shouldn't be embarrassed about that. That's your third thing to know.
Okay.
That you don't
now
know.
I can look it up.
Because people... No. Because people will say at the dinner party, after you've exhausted your Marky Mark and your Josh Duhamel knowledge, then you go, but you know what? I don't know anything about the Transformers. Who's Optimus Prime and Megatron? And people go, I'm surprised I remember Bumblebee, just because it's the yellow, is it a Corvette? I think it's a Corvette.
But you really just remember it because of Megan Fox, though, right?
Yeah, that's really all I remember.
Yeah.
And that goes way back. But then she and Michael Bay supposedly had some falling out. I don't know. Listen, who can follow all the ins and outs of Hollywood? All right, we've got one more Dean's interview from the red carpet premiere of Transformers the last night. And this is with Gerard Carmichael, who is a stand-up. He's got a sitcom, The Carmichael Show. I believe it's on NBC. And now he's in a big action movie. What did Gerard have to say?
I was thinking about that because, you know, we knew you from stand-up. We knew you from then. And look at everything that's happened for you since then.
Oh,
I mean, how do you reflect on all of that?
I really don't. That's the key, I guess, right? You, like, don't pause too much. You just keep working and figure it out from there, you know?
So, is it great? I mean, you're literally on the fast lane now. You're literally an A-lister now. I don't want to, you know, throw too much at you, but...
I don't know. I just had to wait for a restaurant. I don't know. I still... We
did
gotta
you
wait
still... You go. Still have to wait to get a table?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
That's it. Well, maybe you're not an A-lister. Then.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not.
I do all right.
is it great or is it exhausting?
I love work. You know, I like working. So, you know, I don't think of it as exhausting. I mean, it's like, what else? I don't think there's anything I'd rather be doing than just, like, working. And I have the ability to, you know, create content for people. So that's all I want to do.
Yeah. So what was it like being part of this kind of madness?
I mean, it's insane. You know what I mean? It's an insane thing. It's really fun. For me, I signed on because I wanted to work with Michael Bay. You know, a lot of actors do. He's such a specific director. So it was fun to work with him. That was the exciting part. And it was a very big learning experience. I learned a lot being on a set of this size. You know, it's production at its grandest scale. So, you know, I'm very, very thankful to be a part of it.
So we're going to see more of Gerard in films like this?
Oh, I don't know. I learned it. I don't know. We'll see if I can figure it out for myself from now on.
You gotta like step up now.
Yeah.
You're like the stand-up comedian who's still not sure if he's funny.
Yeah. Well, no, this is fun. But I the next one I'll try and do a budget that's about $200 million cheaper.
Less than this.
Yeah.
All right. Those are Dean's A-list interviews with the cast and director of Transformers the last night. The big premiere was the other night. I know Dean gave this a Dean's List C for that. But listen, if you're a Transformers fan, you're going to see it anyway, so enjoy it. Bring some earplugs because, as I said, very, very loud. All right, we've seen these columns that say celebrities, they're just like us. Yeah, I don't think so. We've got some crazy demands in something that most of us will never, ever get to experience. We'll talk about that on the other side. It's Brian Noonan in for Dean for the final little bit. On WGN. It's Brian Noonan in for Dean Richards on 720 WGN. Dean left a little early so he could be part of the Pride Parade on the big WGN TV float. We'll talk to Dean from the parade a little after the 12 o'clock news. And because we do not like to leave any question unanswered as a hard-hitting news organization... whenever I'm not on. We now have confirmation. Joey has done some research, and Optimus Prime is the good. He's the head of the good Transformers. And then Megatron is the head of the Decepticons, or the leader of the Decepticons. Is that correct, Joey? He is the evil. He's the bad guy, the bad car.
He is evil. I'm just reading his
now, does
bio
he,
here.
Reading his bio. Uh-huh. Now, does he? What does he disguise himself as? Is he a truck? One of them, or do they change? I think they stay the same, though, don't they?
I think so. Whatever they transform into, they would stay the same.
That's the one. They don't transform. Like, you can't be a Ford Focus one day and a Maserati the next day. If you're, you know, whatever you transform into, that's your lot in life.
I think that's right.
Blown apart by Josh Duhamel or Marky Mark, then things get bad. I can't, you know, they say it's the last night. This is the fifth installment. Do we think that's going to be true?
Or are we going to see Transformers 7? Yeah, then they'll come back 10 years later with Transformers 7, like Pirates or something.
A reboot of the Transformers movie. All right.
But they're all hybrid cars now by that time.
Yeah, they move much slower. They're very quiet. The movie would be much quieter, though. That would be perfect if they all transform into hybrids. That would be nice.
There it is.
Solar cars, nice hybrid, everything. They're very sneaky. They're like ninja Transformers now. All right, that I like. Now we're, you know what? That idea has just been stolen by someone.
Yep.
And in a few years, we're going to see it go, hey, did we say that on the air one day? I go, yeah, but people never pay attention to what you say. Well, somebody's paying
someone
attention.
Someone did and swiped it.
Unbelievable. All right, celebrities just like us, are they? No, they're not. You know, there's a world that most of us will never get to experience. You know, limo rides everywhere, assistants, private jets. I'm lucky to fly commercial or steerage. You know, I'm never flying a private jet. But there is a company called JetSmarter. It's an on-demand private jet booking app. It's like Uber for the ultra-rich. Oh, I need an app for my private jet. They have flown many of Hollywood's elite, including Kim Kardashian. Are we going to put her in the Hollywood elite column? Well, we will because it's in the story. The aforementioned Fergie, Jamie Foxx, Jenny McCarthy, Ashley Benson, Damon John, a lot of people. It's $10,000 a year. And they provide their celebrity clientele with unlimited access to their inventory. The private plane company is willing to cater to special and unique requests. So anytime you think that a celebrity is down to earth, maybe some of them are. But then there are those who are everything you would imagine celebrities to be. Very demanding, living in a world that you will never get to touch, you and me both. So here are some of the most over-the-top requests they have ever received for their private jet service. They do not name the celebrities because, obviously, they want to keep celebrities using their service. So you can just kind of think about who they might be. Play a little game at home. Who could this be? One celebrity requested an entire plane to be packed with white Casablanca lilies. I'm going to go with, like, J-Lo on that one. Somebody like that. Another requested that the plane be filled with nothing but Cool Ranch Doritos and sparkling ice kiwi strawberry. This is somebody who is new to fame and money because those are nice common tastes, Cool Ranch Doritos and sparkling ice kiwi strawberry, where, you know, you could probably say, I want caviar and Dom Perignon. I want any fancy thing you want. But no, you're going to go Cool Ranch Doritos. For one flight, this sounds like Elvis. All the windows were covered to ensure no natural light came in as the traveler required complete darkness. Maybe it was Dracula or someone getting in the character of Dracula. I got an update, another Transformers update. Bumblebee is a Camaro, not a Corvette. So thank you. Bumblebee is a Camaro, not a Corvette. Joey, we're answering all the questions here today. All the important questions are being answered. Thank you to the texter for that, a Camaro. Celebrity who flies weekly across the country with a team of stylists and spends the entire time trying on outfits, doing alterations, and laying out clothes for the upcoming week. Busted. That's got to be Seacrest. I'm gonna say that's Ryan Seacrest. I could be completely wrong. This is all just, I'm just theorizing. A couple once took a flight to nowhere, paying nearly seven figures for a six-hour, hold on, turn to the page, a six-hour flight where they ended up in the same location where they started. That sounds romantic, Joey. Save up. Maybe impress a lady that way someday. They had a very expensive bottle of wine, mid-air spa treatments, expert skincare, and a mani-pedi. They brought a world-class chef on board and brought on one of the world's most well-known opera singers to sing for them for an hour. That's the epitome of, I've got more money than I know what to do with.
That's ridiculous.
I've got to spend some of this money. What can I do? I know, a private jet, an opera singer, a world-class chef, and we're going to end up right where we left.
Just make sure the opera singer doesn't sing too loud and it breaks the windows. Then you're in trouble.
Oh, that would be horrifying. Then you get sucked out of your private jet.
Yeah.
I'm sure for that kind of money, they have shatterproof windows.
Yeah.
They're not going to risk, you know, if you're loading an opera singer with the Viking helmet and the whole, because I picture it as the whole thing, the flowing robes, the Viking helmet, the staff.
I like it.
Oh, the whole big shebang. That's happening. One flight, the only music played the entire flight was Liberace. Ironically, not Liberace's flight. Expert dog trainers were brought on one flight. That's got to be Steve Dale. Taking his private jet. He's all over the world. So he's probably bringing some dog trainers with him. Food tasters. That's what I need a food taster. They had to make sure that the catering fit the celebrity's taste palate. You know, it's funny. I bet that celebrity, before they had money, didn't even know they had a taste palate. No idea they had a taste. They were just like, oh, this is pretty good. Oh, now you're a celebrity. You got all kind of money. Now you have a taste palate, and you have to bring a food taster along like you're the emperor of Rome. Get a grip. All right, let's do this. Then it'll be news time, and then we'll, I don't know. I have to recover from the food taster, Joey. I'm thrown. It's Brian Noonan in for Dean Richards. Dean left a little early so he could be, excuse me, at the Pride Parade. A beautiful day for a parade. And perched high atop the WGN-TV float is our very own Dean Richards. Hi, Dean. We go with the electronic dance music when it's time for a parade. You know that.
I love that. I love when the show goes techno.
Joey goes a little nuts when you're not here. I got to be honest. He gets a little crazy.
That.
So now, listen. I was listening to you earlier, and you were being a little self-effacing, saying that people were going to pay attention. There's a clown and a weather guy on your float with you that you think people pay more attention to. But I believe people are there to see you.
Yeah, Bozo and Tom Skilling are here on our TV float. It's a float 47 if you're counting, if you're coming down to the parade today. In addition to Dina Bear is here, and Lourdes Duarte is here, and the great Muriel Clare is here. Reporters Mike Lowe and Sean Lewis, all your friends from WGN. But also, all the rest of us don't matter because Tom Skilling is here and also the clown. Here, but I figured out the key to this whole thing finally after all these years. You know, I left the radio station. I hopped on the L this year,
yeah,
and came here on the red line, which was super fast. And I got here before Bozo and Skilling, so I got my little share of attention.
There you go. That's a good plan.
But that doesn't mean that people still shouldn't have signs that say "We love Dean Bozo sucks."
Sure.
That would be fantastic.
I think that would be great, and there's still time. Everybody's got Sharpies. There's a lot of always great signs
That's
along
right.
the parade route. So, you know,
exactly.
Flip your pride
exactly.
sign
Actually,
over.
Bozo just arrived. As always, and, you know, I'm joking about the other stuff, but I'm telling you what, there is no one more popular than Bozo.
No.
People are lined up to take a picture with Bozo. The Bozo show hasn't even been on the air since 2001, but this is about as Chicago as it gets.
Oh, yeah.
Having Bozo here, and people go crazy of all ages to be around Bozo. It's the most amazing thing.
Well, I don't know if you remember, last year I asked you to broker an introduction between myself
right.
and Bozo, and it was
you
one of the highlights of my life.
You were all, like, you know, fanboy giddy.
I was.
To meet Bozo. That's how people are when they see Bozo. So,
you know, we watched him growing up.
We're thrilled and that he's come on, comes on the float. He's at all of our parades and that he's on our WGN float. But that's not to sell short the WGN radio float. Which
I wanted to ask you about that. That's the great mystery.
Yeah.
Who is on the parade, the GN radio float?
Well, right, there's some kind of percussive band which is on the float right now.
Okay.
Maybe they'll start playing music again here in a minute, but they're playing like Latin music. But Patty Vasquez is here.
Okay.
I just saw Patty. You can't miss Steve Bertrand because he's the tallest person
right.
on the entire north side of Chicago.
He's about 100
Justin
feet tall.
Justin Kaufman is here. I see Justin. Let's see, who else am I seeing here? See David Miranda. David Miranda,
oh.
the producer of Frank Fontana Show.
Very nice.
You hear him on the air pretty often.
Sure.
He's here. A lot of the producers are here. Chris Duffy is here.
Nice.
Our very handsome and genius boss, Todd Manley, of course, is here.
Is he an earshot? Is that why all the compliments?
I wouldn't say that that's necessarily true.
All right, just checking.
He is, I'm telling you what, He is a handsome man, though, I will say that.
He is a good-looking man.
Smart, intelligent, are you kidding me?
Right, and generous and supportive, and I think he gives everybody cake just on a daily basis.
Hey, hang on, let me share. And what, Brian, you say that he's also, what'd you say, generous?
Generous and supportive.
And supportive.
And I'll throw in a snappy dresser.
Oh, you should see him today.
I can only imagine.
He's got a rainbow face painted on his forehead.
Wow.
He's got a rainbow cape on as well.
Very
this
nice.
Is our boss.
He is representing.
He's the vice president of programming. That's right.
He's got a title and everything.
Yeah. I'm pouring into the over on the WGN radio side here since I do work here.
How are the crowds looking? I'm imagining huge.
Well, we're still in the holding area, so we haven't actually gotten into the parade route area yet. It's supposed to step off at noon, but we're floats 47 and 48, so we're not going to get going for a while.
They're saving the best for the end.
Yeah, I'm going to say on the radio side, lots of half-dressed people.
Is that right?
Yeah.
See,
nobody that I know. I don't know who they are. I don't recognize them. They're not employees.
But they're just half-dressed and hanging around.
I'm kind of glad that I don't want to see coworkers half-naked.
No. Maybe there's a couple.
It's uncomfortable.
But yeah. I don't want to, we walk in to do crosstalk. I don't want to see, no offense. I know you don't want to see me naked. I don't want to see you naked.
Well, it's nothing personal. It's just the reason I don't use that gym that's in the lower level of Tribune Tower. I don't want to run into any of my coworkers who may be in various states of undress.
You're absolutely right. Some things need to be kept separate, compartmentalized, work and personal.
And speaking just for myself, I look better with the more clothes I have on, the better I look.
You and me both, Dean. You and me both. Well, listen, have a wonderful time today, and I'm glad you got your share of attention, but I'm telling you, people are waiting to throw their accolades at you as you ride. Now, I understand Bozo and Skilling are there, but you're nothing if not a national treasure.
I'll just be standing over here in the corner of the float if anybody needs a water or anything like that. That's okay.
Here's another trick. Okay. Maybe get some. Do they have any swag for you to throw out?
We have beads. We have like interns. And,
if you're the guy with the beads,
the
guy with the beads is always loved. So maybe you grab a couple extra handfuls.
Yeah, we have people for the beads, Brian. We have people for that.
Oh, I didn't mean to infer that you would sully yourself by throwing beads, Dean. I don't, God forbid.
I don't need anyone pulling their shirts off in front of me either. It goes back to I don't want to see coworkers. Very. But I want to thank you for coming in, and that was very, very nice of you to come in so I could dash out early. I really appreciate it.
It is my pleasure. Have a wonderful time.
For my money, you cannot get enough Brian Noonan on a Sunday.
Well, we're going to find out today, aren't we?
we feel around 6 o'clock tonight.
Exactly. Dean, have a great time today, and bask in the adoration of your minions. You deserve it. Have fun. Say hi to Bozo and Tom for me, just in passing. No big deal.
I can't even get close enough to...
All right. Well, listen, maybe Todd will let you hang out with him.
Enough with the clown and the weatherman already.
Exactly. Have a great day, Dean. Thanks for checking in.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Dean Richards. He is at the Pride Parade. He's on the – and I hope – Joey, tell Dean I wasn't trying to cut him off, but I know he's got things to do, so I wasn't trying to – I wasn't trying to give him the bum's rush or anything. He knows that, right? He also knows we got to take a break. Because it's
his
show.
He's got the program clock right in his little iPhone app.
He probably has an automated voice of you going, break. and he ignores it just like he probably does here, just like I do. Just like everybody
Fair enough.
Does. We all ignore the producers. They work
so
hard.
But now Christmas lights to bug you.
Wow, what is that now? When did that? What's that?
If you don't listen to us back here through the headphones, we can bug you with a new button that has Christmas lights.
Who decided on that?
I don't know, but it's the best invention I have back here.
This is unbelievable. All right, for those of you, if you're not watching, you can watch on WGNradio.com, and you can maybe see this. You kind of know how radio works. We're sitting in front of a big console, and now they've installed a strip like you would see maybe in somebody's rearview mirror or back window. when the brake, it's like brake lights, but they're really bright and obnoxious. So now, here's the thing. You start flashing those at me, I'm not going to pay attention to you. I'm going to get madder and madder and never take a break. I might talk now, from now till noon, I might talk into Fontana's show, too, if you keep flashing those lights at me.
Uh-oh, then don't I'll tell hold
Cody,
off.
Don't tell Cody about that button.
I won't.
Because, honest to God, he will be on that. He'll be playing that electronic dance music that you played before we talked to Dean, and he'll be keeping rhythmic beats with the lights, too. And I'll end up with seizures. It's going to be horrifying.
Yikes.
All right, speaking of seizures, why am I? Oh, there's Cody right now. Really? Can I blind him? Can I give him a seizure? Let's do this, then there's more. It's WGN. This week, Chicago's Best is testing the limits of how much may be too much on an all-new Chicago's Best Outrageous Eats. It's tonight at 10 on WGN-TV. Ryan Noonan in for Dean. You just heard Dean on the WGN-TV float at the Pride Parade, getting ready to kick off. They are float, 47? And then WGN Radio is float 48. So if you are paying attention to that. And I know you're thinking, oh, Brian, you're in for Dean. Will you be doing food time at 12:30 like Dean does? Of course I will. Why not? I like food. I like beverages. Our friends from Broken English Taco Pub will be in here. They have a new brunch that's launching pretty soon, so we'll talk to them all about that. Holiday Road, it's vacation time. People planning their vacations. A new poll came out that tells us, according to this, the number one things Americans want to do when they're on vacation. The number one thing, and it may surprise you, may not. The number one thing, according to this poll from the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research, number one thing Americans want to do on vacation? Nothing. Nothing. They just want to relax. According to this, most Americans say staying home and doing nothing isn't the ideal way to do nothing. They want a change of scenery. For those who plan a summer vacation, according to this, 92% are going away and only 8% are making it a staycation. Which, see, I'm with that. I don't know about you. Can you just stay home and do nothing? Because if you're like me, there's always something to do around the house, right? Even if you plan activities outside the house, going to the lake, going to a festival, whatever it is, an amusement park, there's always household chores. And so you come home or you wake up in the morning like, before I go, let me do this, right? So you got to, if you really want to do nothing, I think you have to go away. Now, Dave, I mentioned this, we talked about your vacation up to the island. What was the name of that island again?
Isle Royale National Park in Lake Superior.
Lake Superior. And you said you were completely unplugged.
We were completely unplugged. There was a little bit of Wi-Fi, but it was spotty at best and very slow. So it was, you know, you would make an attempt, and sometimes you did, sometimes you didn't. But, you know, it would have been good for email. That's about it. Other than that, nothing.
Well, and you would be in the minority, according to this poll. Only 22% of people completely disconnect while on vacation.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah. You know, I haven't. This is the first time I disconnected since we were connected.
It's got to be nice, though.
Yeah.
To not worry about it.
Yeah. You know, as I say, the first afternoon, it was a little weird because you weren't, you know, checking things every 10 minutes or sending a text or getting a text. But, you know, that evening, we settled in after dinner, talked. I read a book.
What's that?
Yeah.
Talking and reading books.
I read a book, and a real book.
Like not on a kid? Oh, yeah.
No,
an actual paper book?
And turn pages.
You're like talking about Little House on the Prairie times, Dave. I don't know what kind of...
Well, we were staying in a cabin.
There you go. And you were with Pa.
And I
so
was with
you
Pa.
Were with Pa, so everything's worked out. That's very nice.
I don't know if I reverted to calling him Pa, but, you know, and he never looked at me and said, son.
Son. A couple more days, that wood-burning stove and, you know, cooking everything in one pot over an open fire. You might have gone and looked for a donkey. Third of people don't even try to get away from the internet or social media. 42% say they dial back their time online a little, which is what I do. I dial it back a little bit. But I would like to kind of go. That sounds actually very nice to go somewhere isolated like you were.
Mm-hmm. And
beautiful.
A lot of people
and isolated.
Have said that to me. A lot of people have said that. You know, so that's a nice surprise, to be honest with you, Brian.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, I would tell so many people that we're going to go away for 4 days, and you're going to do what?
Yeah.
And when I've said that we were cut off or we were, you know, not going to be able to text or anything, they were going, That sounds nice.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you think about it, you and I are old enough, Dave, to remember when you would go on vacation, and that was the norm. That was how it was. I know, Joey, this is like black and white TV version of radio right now for you. It's Cinescope. But back when you only had a home phone, when you'd go on vacation, you'd go on vacation.
And you didn't have an answering service to check when you got home to
exactly.
see how many messages you had.
Right. You'd have the mail would all be, you'd go pick up the mail if you'd stopped it, or a neighbor would have picked
a
up your
mail. A neighbor
would
have picked up the mail, and you brought him a gift for picking up the mail.
Exactly. And then you came in, and you know what? Life went on.
Life did indeed go on.
Everything was fine. Nothing.
I think that'd be nice.
It is nice. I think it'd be nice again. I'm going to be like the Unabomber. I'm just going to go to a cabin somewhere, maybe just sit in the woods. With nobody, just sit in the woods with my thoughts. How scary would that be?
Yeah.
The conversation would be nonstop, though.
With your thoughts.
With my thought. Just one. I have one thought. World domination. Top vacation activities. Sightseeing was ranked important by 55% of those surveyed, followed by experiencing local culture and cuisine. You ate varmint up there, right, to experience the local cuisine? Is that what you did?
Well, see, we had local cuisine being fish.
Oh,
fresh
yeah.
fish. Fresh lake
see?
Trout.
Oh, man.
It was delicious.
All right, I was going to say it would be a great place for a remote, but why would you broadcast from there? I'd just go up there and lay around. Now, was Lake Superior, is it too cold to go in?
Yeah, it actually is. There actually is an area where you can reserve space for diving, but you need to be an experienced diver and approved by them, and of course have a wetsuit. No, you don't go into Lake Superior, especially that far north.
Now,
really,
ever. Can you go in the, boats, canoes, was there water activities?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Okay.
Kayaking, canoeing.
Oh, nice.
We took 1, 2, 3 different boat rides, two of them to parts of the island to check out old lighthouses.
Oh.
And then we did a sunset tour one night.
Sounds beautiful.
I'm posting all these pictures on Facebook.
Yeah, please do. That sounds terrific.
Yeah.
So go check out Dave's post.
I will have a photo album up.
There is a gender gap when it comes to vacation activity. Shopping is more popular with women than men, according to this survey, 22% versus 9%. Women also prioritize sightseeing, 60% versus 49%, and visiting family, 52% versus 40% more than men. And one final thing on this poll. Half of the public expects to spend less than $1,000 for their summer holiday, and half anticipate laying out more. So right down the middle. Time is the luxury most people desire. Nearly two-thirds of Americans would prefer a less extravagant vacation over a longer one. I think that sentence is wrong, because if time is the most important, you would want a longer vacation. You wouldn't worry about the extravagance of said vacation. All right, on the other side of the news, it's a food time here on 720 WGN. Our friends from Broken English Taco Pub will be in here. We will talk all about tacos and beverages and brunch. We'll do that after the news on WGN. It's Brian Noonan in for Dean Richards on 720 WGN, and you know that song means it's time for food time here on WGN. Today, I am happy to welcome back our friends from Broken English Taco Pub. Chef Frank Valdez is here. They have a new brunch starting on July 15th at all three of their locations, Old Town, Michigan Avenue, and Lincoln Park. Frank, good to see you again. How are you?
Nice to see you, Brian. Doing well. Keeping busy, just like yourself, pulling a double.
Yeah, it is like I'm in the service industry today, pulling a double. Not as hard as being a server or a bartender, but, it's still a double.
No, don't sell yourself short.
No. Last time we talked was right before Cinco de Mayo, when you had some big things planned. I'm guessing they all went very well.
It went extremely well. We had the Follow the Mariachi, which went, was our very first time. We were slammed at all three locations. People were enjoying the trolley, enjoying the mariachi. I mean, I'm sure there's stuff on Instagram and all that, social media.
Oh,
things.
Yeah.
But no, it's been business has been great. Everything, like I said, thanks Chicago for supporting us.
Give people a little background if they're not familiar with Broken English Taco Pub. You guys haven't been around that long, but things have moved very quickly.
So we actually, Cinco de Mayo was our 1 year anniversary. So we're looking at a little bit over a year, and now we're at three locations. We're it's something that I don't think a year ago I would have thought, saying, hey, you know, I'm going to be in charge of three of these.
Yeah.
We started over at in the Loop at 75 East Lake, and after that we moved over to Old Town. And then in our last April 20th, we opened our in Lincoln Park, which is our biggest. It's you know, the largest one of the three. And I think, like I said, you know, Chicago's just been really, really, really nice to us. And hopefully they enjoy what we're doing.
The Lincoln Park location is unique not only because of its size, but because of the – you took over a couple different storefronts and created something a little different.
Yeah, it's like a – it's almost shaped like a triangle. So it's over on Lincoln Sheffield, and it's sort of – it's an odd location. One was a parking lot. One used to be like a hamburger place at the corner. And the other one was like a flower shop or something like that. So yeah, it was kind of a weird kind of thing, and it all works, you know.
Yeah.
Just, you know, sometimes you know, things that are a little eccentric kind of work and tend to work out, and you know, that is a, you know, different location, but you know, we kind of use the space, I think, so it's people are kind of happy.
Very nice. We're going to get into the new brunch in a minute, but for people not familiar, not only with the concept of Broken English, tell us about the menu. What, you know, because people hear Taco Pub, they're like, all right, I kind of get it, tacos, yeah. But it's different.
So what we do is, you know, so Broken English is like you said, it's a pub. Essentially, it is, you know, a pub, a cantina. And normally you would get, you know, at a bar, you would get burgers or whatever. So our whole kind of twist on that is we're a, you know, a taqueria. So we serve 9 different tacos. We do have some burger options. We do, you know, I call them nacho mama nachos. we do a big bad burrito. You know, we do some things, other salads.
Right.
But essentially we are a taqueria inside a pub. So, you know, to us, it's like, this, it's, you know, we do really good tacos,
yeah,
have great margaritas, and great decor. The ambiance is there. What more could you ask for?
Well, and that, so the taco, obviously, the tacos are your bread and butter. The margaritas, which are made all in-house.
Correct.
That's the other, and they're on tap, which people go, oh, I want to see them house made. But they're made.
They're made.
Just don't see.
Exactly. So we keg all our margaritas. It's just sheer volume.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and I'm glad you brought that up, Brian, because some people kind of say, oh, you know, it comes out so quickly, and you know, like, how is that possible? Are
right.
you guys using some sort of mix? And I'm like, no, everything we have actually a machine that's, you know, this automated machine that kind of slices the limes and squeezes them and does it, you know, so it's all fresh lime juice.
Yeah.
We use agave nectar, 100% blue agave. And, you know, so it the quality of the product is there. I mean, one of the gripes I think I hear from people is that sometimes they're a little too strong. So we're like,
oh, boo-hoo.
Well, yeah, right? I mean, I'll take a strong margarita over a weak one any day.
Exactly. I would rather say, oh, I taste the tequila instead of, there's nothing in here.
In here, yeah. It tastes like water.
That's just me, but.
You know, after two, usually you kind of see the difference in people when they walk in and they start to slur a little bit. They get up and they're like, wow, I don't know. Something's wrong with my shoes.
I would also rather, I mean, as a consumer, I would be happy that my margarita came a little quicker because, as you mentioned, with volume, if you were, depending on your bartenders, to make make those each drink by hand and the pitchers by hand, that would be a Herculean task. Nobody would ever get their drink.
Agreed. And then it also helps with consistency.
Yeah.
You know, if everyone, you know, every bartender is going to, you know, they're supposed to use and measure or whatever. And, you know, we all know, like,
sure.
You know, like, hey, you know, this is my friend. It's going to be a little stronger,
a little heavier,
you know, and then some other people a little short, you know. It's like, and then you don't have a consistent product.
Yeah.
So I think it helps in not only the speed and efficiency, it also helps in the consistency of the product.
And how long will a keg of margaritas last? Because I'm guessing it's not sitting there. You're not getting a week old margarita.
You're not getting a week old. So they're batched. So they batch a couple kegs depending on the day.
Yeah.
You know, so when it's lighter, they're not going to batch as much. But I mean, on some of the Fridays and Saturdays, I mean, we're going through, you know, 15 kegs, you know.
Wow.
So just imagine the sheer volume. It shelf life on it isn't, you know, you're probably going to get a couple days only.
Okay.
But you're not, you know, it's you go through the product.
Yeah.
So it's not something that you're overbatching. You try to
And you guys have great beers and other spirits. So people are like, maybe I'm not a margarita person.
Yeah, we have great cocktails, and we have last time Emily DeCantor was here with us, mm-hmm. and she her last name is perfect for being a mixologist.
Is that her real name, or let's be? Is that a stage name?
That
a bartender
is her real
name?
That is her real name. You know, she has a great name. I said, I wish I had my last name as Cook or something.
Yeah,
that would be like a great
Frank Sheffman.
Schefman. Yeah, right. Chefster.
Hi, I'm John Chefster. All right, let's get to the food, because you mentioned your taqueria inside a pub, so you're focused on tacos. But in this market, it seems every place is doing brunch. Now, you guys are you still going to be doing the breakfast burrito bar?
We are doing breakfast burritos, so I actually brought some in. I brought a breakfast burrito in. I brought a chorizo con huevos taco, and I also brought in some chilaquiles, so you can get to try those. We are doing breakfast burritos.
so that was going on. That was going on before you decided to introduce the new brunch menu, right?
Correct.
And that was every. So, what makes a place like you guys go? All right, it's got to be just there's so much demand for brunch. You go, well, we have to get in on this brunch thing. But you don't want to just be, hey, we've got waffles and
yeah. So the thing is it's all concept. You know, I kind of make the menu kind of fit the concept.
Yeah.
So, all the brunch items, I do actually have a churro waffle on the menu.
Ooh.
But that's
not just, exactly, hey, not throw just an Eggo in the toaster.
Yeah, exactly.
Enjoy your brunch.
So we're making a churro waffle. Ooh. With some al pastor pollo, and I make like a chorizo gravy.
Nice. So your twist on chicken and waffles.
Exactly.
Very
exactly.
Nice.
Pollo and waffles. So
pollo sounds better than chicken. I like the way you say it, Frank.
Pollo.
Frank Sheffman.
Right?
I'm sorry to interrupt. I just heard churros and chicken, and I got a little crazy.
That's what it's supposed to be, right? Get you hungry.
Exactly.
So the brunch, our brunch too is, we're also going to do a lot of cocktails. So a lot of the things is, we have Emily kind of, she's, crafting new cocktails for brunch. Right. And, our thing is maybe a little more booze, less eggs. How about that? I don't know.
I'm always good for that, especially on a day like this. We're sitting outside or sitting at a restaurant for a little while.
Oh, it's beautiful weather.
Sounds wonderful. Let's take a quick break. Frank Valdez is here. He is the chef for Broken English Taco Bar. You're one of the owners too, right? Partner. You're one of the big.
Yeah.
You're a big shot over there.
You create the menus and you do
all the cooking. You can go to tacopub.com. That's where you get all the information on all three of the locations for Broken English Taco Pub. We'll talk about the new brunch menu. We'll sample some of the wonderful brunch things, and we will do all of that on the other side. It's 720 WGN. Sarah. Joey, my nemesis. Oh, won't you smile? Frank, I don't know how you feel about Hall & Oates.
I love Hall & Oates.
I do as well. Joey plays this song every time we work together because I had a long-running one-sided feud with Hall & Oates, because when I was in college, I went to see them, and they did not play Sarah Smile, which is my favorite Hall & Oates song. But I did. Joey, you know this. We've cleared the air, Hall & Oates and I. And I saw them last year. They did play Sarah Smile. All is forgiven, but Joey does not let me forget. He rubs it in constantly. Frank Valdez is here from Broken English Taco Pub, part of Dean Richards Food Time today. Broken English Taco Pub, three locations. Go to tacopub.com, get all the information. All right, so we were started to talk about brunch, and every place does brunch, but now at Broken English, you've got to try to figure out how to, as you said, fit it into the concept of the restaurant. How long did it take to formulate this menu?
It kind of took the breakfast burrito. We're going to have four style breakfast burritos. The one you have right now is I call it a double pork.
Ooh, it's got
pork belly. It's got some bacon in there, some queso cotija.
I'm sorry, what?
Queso cotija.
Some sort of cheese.
A cheese.
I got the queso.
Yeah, got the queso right. Some queso cotija, similar to kind of like Parmesan.
It's delicious.
So when I'm crafting it, so I took that as a starting point. I also have people kind of know, chorizo and eggs.
Sure.
Chorizo and huevos is something, has become kind of a staple now, mm-hmm. when you think of breakfast.
You see chorizo at a lot of places that you might not expect to find chorizo.
And people kind of are doing their own variations on it. Now everyone's kind of doing it. You know, like, oh, I'm going to do throw some feta in there and whatever, make it Mediterranean kind of style, you know, which is great. Isn't that what America's about?
Yeah, just mixing things up.
We love to kind of just, you know, add some stuff here and then it'll make it our own. So, yeah, I took that, you know, and then I added, what would I like to eat, you know, if I'm going out for brunch? So, like I said, I'm going to do a churro waffle with a chorizo gravy, some al pastor, you know, fried egg on there, which is my take on, like you said, chicken and waffles.
Chicken and waffles.
You know, that's a staple for brunch. I mean, it's hearty. You get some stuff. And it really works well because it's, like, sweet and savory. You know, the churro has, like, you know, some sweetness. Then you got the gravy, and it's kind of rich. And then, you know, I think it's a fun kind of brunch dish.
Yeah. It sounds good. And it's one of those things, again, if you're going to a place like Broken English, you want to stay consistent. If I'm used to going there in the evenings and having some tacos or nachos and a couple margaritas, I don't want to go in on a Sunday morning and get your basic, you know, here's the same brunch that I can find anywhere.
You know, and that's kind of, you know, so that becomes one of the things. And we're also going to still have our tacos, which, you know, overwhelmingly, I think still people come in and, you know, I don't care if it's 8 o'clock in the morning, they're still going to be like, hey, I want some tacos. Which is one of these things. Tacos has become, you know, such a big snack kind of food.
Where, it's easy. It's easy to eat. It's quick.
Quick, walkable. You know, you can walk with it. it's kind of, you know, I look at it as like the new hot dog, you know, where, you know, it's a great, you know, you just put in your hand, you take a bite, you keep walking or whatever, you know, you have also the stance. You know, you know, because people, you know, there's like when you're eating like an Italian beef, you also it's the same kind of thing with the taco.
There's a lean.
There's got to be a lean to it, right? Because it's going to drip. You know, people are like, oh, there's a little meat juice just getting on my shirt. Hey, you got to learn the stance.
Right. That means it's fresh meat. It's
exactly.
Not something that's been sitting in a chafing dish for hours.
You kind of want that, right? You want it to be a little juicy, something, you know. And that's what makes it flavorful and great.
And you mentioned like that's what this country is about, mixing things up. Tacos have evolved immensely over the last few years,
without a doubt. And I think people need to understand that tacos have evolved not only here in the United States; they've evolved in Mexico. Right. I mean, we go to al pastor was shepherd style. That is something that was brought from the Middle East. Middle Eastern immigrants came to Mexico. They brought the the donor, the spit, you know, the you know, where you're thinking you're the guiro, and they're they, you know, kind of put pork because that's what they liked.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it has evolved and it continues to evolve. Stuff continues to, you know, the world is not as big as we think. You know?
Everything, it comes, you know, you have something there and then it comes back this way. So, first of all, let's get back to the brunch real quick. Is this going to be Saturdays and Sundays? What are the days and times for the brunch?
Yeah, it's going to be Saturdays and Sundays, and it's going to start at 11 to 3.
But during those hours, as you said, you'll have your regular menu too, which just says...
You'll have your tacos.
And now going back to during the week, the breakfast burrito thing will still... The breakfast burrito bar will still be... Is that just in Lincoln Park, or is that
That
in
is
all
just in Lincoln
locations?
Park, and at the moment, I think we're going to push it back. We were starting at 8. We're pushing it back now to about 11.
Okay.
But you can still order some of the breakfast burritos.
It's very... Breakfast burrito... That's another great... easily transferable food, you know.
It is.
You go from and again, just like the tacos have evolved, the burrito has evolved. What kind of things, as when people hear tacos, if they haven't been to Broken English, they're gonna think steak taco, a chicken taco, maybe an al pastor. What other kind of takes do you have on the taco?
Well, I have a fried chicken taco, which is my take on like a Baja style fish taco. Use a chicken, and it has a little bit of a ghost pepper mayo and smoked cabbage slaw. I also do a fish of the day, which is not breaded and fried. It's, you know, either grilled or on the flat top. You know, so I have some of the options I've used are, you know, swordfish. I've done haddock. I've done escalar. So, you know, I kind of change it out and, you know.
And do the toppings then change depending on the fish? Will you use one slaw on a fish that's maybe a little milder as opposed to something that's a little
change
stronger?
Change it up a little bit, and then, you know, it kind of keeps stuff interesting too for people who, you know, come in. And, you know, there's a lot of people who want to eat a little bit healthier.
I love a grilled fish taco.
And I personally am a big fan of not, you know, like the fried Baja style are great.
Yeah.
But sometimes you want something, you want a little bit lighter. You don't want, you know, so you say, hey, a little nice. You don't need to hide. If it's fresh fish, you don't want to hide and mask the flavor of the fish. So if you have a nice piece of a swordfish, hey, little slaw on there, little herbs, you know, and you'll be doing great, you know?
And those late tacos leave room for another margarita. That's the key.
You know, that's the thing, you know? You always want to have margaritas, and margaritas are delicious.
Right. Well, they go together. It's even with the brunch. So what do you have any, has Emily given you any tips on the new brunch cocktails that might
be? Yeah, she actually has one. It's called, is that a cucumber in your pocket? which is, it's delicious.
She drinks a lot when she's creating these, doesn't she?
She does.
Sure, I don't blame her.
So she actually is, I think it's made with a little bit of liqueur made from aloe.
Oh,
so
wow.
She was debating between the two names. She had, is that a cucumber in your pocket or aloe, it's me? So I thought they were both fabulous names for a cocktail.
They are both very, you know, good names.
And it's a great cocktail. So, you know, I was like, you can name it anything, and it's cocktail number three. It's a delicious cocktail.
Ordered for the name, stay right, for the taste.
Definitely.
Perfect.
Definitely.
So that's going to be there. Everybody talks, you know, brunch, immediately people will think of Bloody Marys. Are you going to have a take on the Bloody Mary?
She's going to have a take on the Bloody Mary. She's definitely going to have a take on a Bloody Mary. I think we're doing, she's working on a iced coffee cocktail.
Oh, that sounds very
so,
nice, too.
So that's going to be kind of fun. You know, kind of a Mexican iced coffee. You know, I think the garnish is going to be like maybe a churro or something.
Oh, man.
So it's going to, you know, we're trying to do fun things that fit the concept and taste really well, you know, and that's the thing. We have just as much fun as you know, consumers, you know. I love to go out and eat just as much. Like I said, all the time, Chicago is a great food town, and, you know, I love to take advantage of the great restaurants we have just as much as anyone else.
When you're going out, now you're around Mexican food all the time, you're creating new dishes. When you go out, do you try to stay away from Mexican restaurants, or do you go and see what some other people are doing? Just to know
yeah,
what else is
I,
out
I think
there.
I try everything. I do, you know, I do check out other Mexican restaurants, and, you know, we have a lot of great Mexican restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
We have a lot of chefs who are doing great food. I also go out and just enjoy, I mean, you know, places like Avec, which, you know, have been around doing great food. And then, you know, but not always just fancy restaurants. There's a lot of good restaurants, you know, that actually one of my favorite tacos is not even Mexican. It's right by my house. It's called Unhacor, and they do this paratha taco thing that
is
delicious.
That?
So it's kind of this mixture of Thai and Indian.
Oh,
and
wow.
They kind of do, it's really great. It's great. It's like Korean and Indian. So they do like this bulgogi kind of beef thing, and then they use a paratha, and it's delicious.
Wow.
You know, and I always tell people, you know, people are like, oh, where are your favorite tacos? I was like, well, you know, actually, it's not even Mexican, but it's a taco. So, you know, I love the creativity of people kind of creating something new and saying, you know, like when people, I don't like when people are kind of like, well, you know, that's not what a taco is. A taco should always have like onions and cilantro. And they're like, well, you know what? We kind of could do, you know, you could, it's explore a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it might, you know, if it's done well, I think it does pay homage to, you know, I always think that you do have to know the history and learn how to, you know, walk before you run.
Right, you have to have the basis, you have to have the foundation, and then you can build upon it. It's like you talked about before, everything is always evolving, whether it's a taco, whether it's a margarita, a cocktail, you know, you think, used to be just a shot and a beer. Now, Emily's creating cocktails with aloe and churros.
Yeah,
and
exactly,
you know.
And they're great.
Yeah.
And there we were, you know, and it's people coming up with new things and kind of exploring. And I mean, then that's the beauty. If we stay, you know, at a standstill in anything in life,
right,
I think it's not good for humanity.
Well, that is true. Broken English Taco Pub, not standing still, continuously evolving. Their new brunch begins July 15th at all three locations. Brunch will run Saturdays and Sundays from 11 to 3. New menu items, the tacos will always be available, of course,
always.
The wonderful margaritas and the new brunch cocktails, so everything will be there. If you want any information, you got to go to tacopub.com, find out everything that's going on at all three locations. They have private events available. Talk to Talk to the people there, and they will hook you up. Frank, it's always good to
always
see you.
Always a pleasure.
Continued
Brian.
Success, and thank you so for much. Bringing the treats. The breakfast burrito was phenomenal. I can't imagine. Everything is always good at Broken English.
And stay caffeinated for your double.
We're going to try. I'm going to do my best. Hopefully, I will not get too logy from all the fantastic stuff you brought in, but I'll rebound by 6. And we will see you up at Broken English very soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming in. All right, let's do this. Then we'll wrap up, and Frank Fontana comes up after the news here on WGN. All right. Thank you for Dean for letting me sit in for him for the last couple hours. I'll be back at 6 o'clock tonight. That's right. You cannot escape me. We'll be back at 6. Frank Fontana comes your way. Dave, it was a pleasure to see you.
It is, Brian. Yeah.
Who knows when we will cross paths again? It'll be some odd time, but I always look forward to it.
1:32 in the morning.
Exactly. Have a great rest of your day.
You too.
I will
talk
to you
tonight.
Thank you.